welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Thursday, the 2nd of February, 2012. You know what today is? Groundhog's Day. Did the little guy see his shadow? I think he did, didn't he? So that means like six more weeks of winter. But in this case, when you're dealing with probably the mildest winter, that's what I'm hearing anyway from in the Midwest and back east, it could be the mildest winter in like 30 or 40 years. So maybe 6 weeks more isn't so bad of winter, but you never know. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout out to our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240, our friends in Globe and Gila County, and in Douglas and Cochise County, it's KAPR AM 930 to hear the Buckmaster Show in all of southeastern Arizona. We live stream the show on my website, which is buckmastershow.com, or KVOI.com for live streaming. And there are three locations where you can have 24/7 anytime, anywhere listening of this program: BuckmasterShow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. This program is live Monday through Friday from noon to 1. Today, a leadoff interview with Don Bivens. Mr. Bivens, the former chair of the State Democratic Party, he is now in the race for the open U.S. Senate seat in Arizona. 20 minutes past the hour, the latest on that IRS crackdown on identity theft and tax fraud. 30 minutes past the hour, the mayor of Marana, Ed Honey, will be with me in studio. We're going to be talking about his town's new one-stop shop for new businesses. And we'll close out the show with the Buckmaster Show legal advisor, Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. We encourage you to be a part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can always email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Now, we begin with Don Bivens, who is a candidate for the U.S. Senate, a Democrat. Mr. Bivens, how are you today?
Good morning, Bill. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you, Don. Tell me a little bit about why you wanted to get into this race.
Well, I wanted to get into this race because it's time for us to rebuild America's middle class and our economy along with it. We have folks all across this state who are hurting. And with our focus, I think, on the middle class, the working families of this state, and the educational attainment and the health benefits that they need, I think that's how we're going to get America back on track, and that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate.
Well, everybody seems to be putting jobs at the top of their list. How we get to that point, how do we create more jobs? And I think that's one of the big issues, certainly, that will be involved in this campaign. Your main competition looks like it's Richard Carmona at this point on the Democratic side, the former U.S. Surgeon General. Any differences are there some differences right off the bat between you and Dr. Carmona?
Well, I think you focus on jobs, and that allows us to talk about a difference. I've spent my entire career in the public sector as an attorney advising businesses, large and small, and entrepreneurs. And if we're going to have jobs coming back in this country, it's going to be from the private sector. And that's an area that I understand well. And we're going to have to invest in the things that will allow that private sector to flourish. I think there are three things that come to my mind immediately, and that is, one, infrastructure, whether it's roads, bridges, buildings, anything that helps us transport our goods and let businesses thrive. And we need to have the educational investments that allow our students to be able to take the jobs that are going to be produced in the private sector. And I think another important thing government can do is to continue targeted investments in research and development. For example, at the University of Arizona, where we have cutting-edge research going on that does spawn private enterprise and innovative businesses with new jobs. And those are the keys, I think, to getting us back on track and putting people back to work.
For those who don't know a little bit about your background, you are a former president of the State Bar and of Planned Parenthood, and of course you are the former state party chair of the Democratic Party. You've devoted your life, a lot of public service has been about what Don Bivens is about, is that correct?
Well, I have been an active lifelong Democrat for 35 plus years here, and I think that's a point of distinction in this primary. I didn't sign up 50 days ago to join the party. And I have been working for my entire adult life here in Arizona for the values that I believe in. And that includes what we're talking about today, rebuilding America's middle class. You know, I came from a middle class family. I was raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I got a good education because other people had built that school system before me. And I got a good job because other people had built that economy before me. And we have that same responsibility to our kids today. And I don't have to tell you and your listeners that right now we're at a position where for the first time in a very long time, Americans are looking at the future and wondering if their kids are really going to have it better off. We can do better.
Don Bivens is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, former chair of the State Democratic Party. He is now a candidate for the U.S. Senate seat in 2012 this year. Of course, that seat is now going to be vacant because Republican John Kyle is retiring after this term. Let's talk a little bit about Medicare abuses there. This has been talked about for years, eliminating waste and abuse. Something really should be done and needs to be done, doesn't it?
Well, I think on Medicare, you're going to have some very stark choices in November between the Democratic nominee and the Republicans. The Republicans are, let's just take Jeff Flake for a minute and imagine that it is he who has the upper hand there, is in favor of the Ryan budget, which even the Wall Street Journal would end Medicare as we know it. For my part, I think we have an obligation to continue Medicare for our seniors today and to find a way to preserve that system into the future. We made a contract with today's seniors that they paid their money into it, fulfilled their end of the bargain, and I think the country owes them what we agreed to provide them. Looking down the road, there's going to, I think, need to be adjustments as we look to the generation behind today's seniors. But right now, we got to protect Medicare.
How about the Obama health care plan? On the Republican side, the candidates for president, Romney and Gingrich, the two front runners, have said that one of the first acts that they would, official acts as president, would be to get rid of what they call Obama health care, the Obamacare. What do you say about that?
Well, if you value America's middle class and working class families, they need two basic things to be able to succeed. Educational opportunity and health care. And those two planks are two of the parts of America that have always been there to help the middle class attain all that people can attain with the abilities that God gave them. I think that the Affordable Health Care Act is a step in the right direction in providing access to health care and health insurance for more people. And I think that while this 2,400 pages of regulations will unfold in ways that none of us can really predict as it kicks in over the next few years and we'll necessarily have to make adjustments, I think it's a step in the right direction. We take care of America's kids. They'll have a chance to succeed and to compete in this global economy.
We have never seen, or at least perhaps in many of our lifetimes, the kind of partisanship that has been going on in Washington. When you think about former Arizona politicians such as Morris K. Udall, John Rhodes, Barry Goldwater, Dennis DeConcini, who was my guest yesterday here on the Buckmaster Show, they all came from vastly different politics, and yet they still came together, didn't they?
Well, I think that quartet you just described would be a good lesson for Arizona in the future. It was a balanced delegation representing the balanced registrations we actually have in Arizona right now, with roughly equal amounts of Democrats and Independents and Republicans. And I agree, that quartet worked together for Arizona. I'd like to think that my background as a business lawyer resolving disputes could be of real use here. I make a living and have for 30 years in walking into rooms with people who have significant disputes, emotionally charged disputes many times. And part of my skill set is helping people get to an agreement that both sides can live with respectfully and civilly. And I think that's a skill set we could definitely use in Washington. This partisan gridlock is driving us all crazy.
Don Bivens is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. He will be facing former Surgeon General Richard Carmona in the Democratic primary. They are the two major candidates. Dr. Carmona, will this be a clear choice for Democrats as far as you're concerned, Don Bivens?
Well, I think there are some very clear choices. To begin with, my service as a lifetime Democrat, I think that Mr. Carmona's service in the Bush-Cheney administration as Surgeon General is marked with his support of Bush policies, and I think that the Democrats in Arizona will take that into consideration.
Don Bivens, thank you very much for being with us. Coming up on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, where can they get more information, Don, about your campaign?
The best way to get information is probably on the website. That is Bivens, B-I-V-E-N-S, 2012.com. And it will also show a calendar of events and our travel schedule as we are traveling almost every day to different parts of Arizona to bring our message and our campaign to the people.
All right. We'll look forward to having you perhaps in studio the next time, Don Bivens. Thanks a lot.
That would be a pleasure, Bill. Take care.
Thank you very much. Don Bivens with us, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, the IRS cracking down on identity theft and tax fraud. By now, probably everybody knows Arizona, unfortunately, is a hotbed for identity theft. It's an unfortunate situation, but we'll find out what the IRS is doing about it as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. Now let's listen to the lineup of fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
A couple of days ago, I said we had the best bumper music in town, thanks to my producer, Rosemary Brandt, and Joe, my postal carrier. The day I said that on the show, there was a note in my post box. Joe said, "That's right. She does produce the best bumper music in town." So there you go, Rose. It's good stuff. Well, the Internal Revenue Service has announced, and it happened this week, a nationwide crackdown on thieves who were stealing identities to file tax returns and collect refunds that should be going to someone else. The IRS identified Phoenix as one of 9 metro areas at high risk for crimes involving tax refund scams, along with cities such as Atlanta, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Brian Watson joins us now, special agent for the Internal Revenue Service criminal investigation. Brian, and when I see something like that that says Phoenix is one of the main areas, I have to think Tucson's got to have something in play here as well.
Absolutely, Bill. There's tax fraud cheaters around here as well. Phoenix doesn't hold that title over us.
Tell me about your job and what you and your colleagues are doing right now.
Well, I'm a special agent with IRS Criminal Investigation. We are, if you want to think about it, a cross between accountants and police officers. We consider ourselves the world's best financial investigators, and we investigate a lot of financial crimes. Right now, we've been busy investigating a lot of refund crimes connected to identity theft.
How does this tax refund scam work?
Well, criminals are using the internet. You know, the internet is great, but the problem is it lends itself to some illegal activities. And what these people will do is steal people's identities and use their social security numbers and their names to file bogus tax returns in an effort to get refunds, and they try to get away before we catch them. Luckily, we have some great investigators. People I work with are incredible investigators. We have people in our fraud detection centers who find these schemes, pinpoint where they are, and we go out there, do investigations. We conduct surveillances. We do undercover work. We do search warrants in an effort to bring them to prosecution.
When the IRS receives 2 returns from for the same individual, obviously that's going to raise some red flags, right? And that's kind of how the investigation gets going.
Absolutely. You can only file 1 tax return a year.
I can't get multiple returns.
So what happens is usually when someone finds out they're a victim of identity theft via tax returns, they'll get a letter from the IRS saying, hey, someone's already filed a return. And so that starts the process. We have a number you can call. get some help. You can file a form and basically get it straightened out. You won't be responsible if someone files a false return using your Social Security number.
How about these fake refund checks, Brian Watson? How are they getting these cashed? Through what arena are they going? What venue are they using?
How
they would go to like a money service business or something?
Yeah, I mean there's so many options now. I mean before, you know, a long time ago you just only could go to the bank, but now pretty much any business will cash checks. They may charge you a fee and won't ask any questions, but there's always someone out there that's willing to cash a check for some money.
So how do you what's the best advice for people who are looking – well, no one wants to be involved in this kind of – you know, a victim of this. What can you advise them?
Well, just the same steps that we tell anybody for any of this stuff. You know, watch what you throw away in your garbage, shred your stuff. When you have a password on your computer, change it and make it a complicated one, what we call a strong password. You want to make things difficult for anybody out there trying to steal your identity. Now, unfortunately, you could take all those steps. It can still happen. But then, you know, you just want to make it as difficult as possible for the crooks out there.
Any thinking on why this area seems to be ripe for these kinds of scams? Just because we're a large population center in the Phoenix-Tucson area?
Yeah, I mean, what I've learned in this job, been doing it for 16 years, I found out there's crimes all over the country. And unfortunately, it'll never stop. I have job security in that, if you think about it that way. We're always trying to stop people from doing the latest crime. And 10 years from now, it'll be something totally different. They'll move on to the next thing. But yeah, wherever there's a lot of people and where there's a lot of money, that's where the crimes are going to happen.
Any tips for choosing a reputable tax return preparer? After all, we're in the tax season.
Absolutely. Ask around. You know, if you were new to town and you were looking for a physician or a dentist, you would ask your neighbors. You would ask your new coworkers. You would ask family and friends. You know, choose carefully. Find out, you know, what their reputation is. You know, you want to choose someone carefully because they're going to have your financial information. And ultimately, you're responsible for what's on your return. So you want to make sure that it's accurate and it's not full of false deductions or errors.
This just seems like the natural time to put this plug in for one of our sponsors on the program, because I know this gentleman is reputable. The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway. Michael C. Flowers is really a great CPA. And that, so, you know, you say ask around. It's word of mouth a lot of it, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would just like you're going to choose anybody. You want to ask around, find their reputation. You go to the Better Business Bureau. You can go online, make sure they have a website, that they've been around. What we see, the problem ones are these people that are fly by night. They show up.
Yeah, they have a sign maybe that pops up on the corner.
Or even more, it's just word of mouth. People are saying, hey, this guy's getting these huge returns.
Oh.
And what people do is they go there because they want to get the huge returns, and they end up paying like a percentage of the refund. That's a total red flag. You never want to do that because there's a built-in incentive for them to falsify the return. And anybody that says, I can give you the biggest return ever, that shouldn't happen. I mean, everyone literally should be preparing pretty much the same return. So those are the people you should be afraid of, because what happens is you file a bad return, they disappear, you get an audit letter 6 months later, and you're the one left holding the bag, and you end up having to pay the extra money.
Why is the IRS involved in mortgage fraud investigations?
Because it's a complicated case involving lots of money, and we are experts at that. I mean, we've had numerous mortgage fraud cases here in Phoenix and southern Arizona. Some of the local ones we had a loan officer named Thomas Morales was indicted a little over a year ago in a cashback scheme, basically where straw buyers are recruited, and they pay the straw buyers, and then the people that are running the scheme inflate the value of the house, sell it to the straw buyers, and take the cash back at escrow. So you basically have a straw buyer holding the bag with a very high-priced house, and the people that are running the scheme have all the money, and they're the ones who take all the money. We also had a local enrolled agent named Robert Heckinger. When we're talking about selecting a return preparer, an enrolled agent is someone who's licensed to practice before the IRS. He's an enrolled agent. He was preparing false letters that were sent to the lenders. You know, we talk about the stated income loans that were going on. A lot of them required a letter. Well, Mr. Heckinger provided some false letters, and those were used by the lenders. Loans go into default, banks lose money, and that's what contributed, obviously, to this the mortgage crisis in our country.
Brian Watson, Special Agent, Internal Revenue Service, Criminal Investigation Division, thank you very much for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Brian Watson with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up to the 30-minute mark past the hour. We're going to be talking about small business and what the town of Marana is doing. They've opened up this kind of one-stop center for taking care of a lot of your business needs. The mayor of Marana is in the building, Ed Honey. He is next. He'll be with me in studio as we continue with the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Stick around, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Republican officials say Donald Trump is planning to endorse Mitt Romney later today in Las Vegas. Newt Gingrich's camp had thought the endorsement was going to Gingrich, and in fact, the campaign had already leaked word that Trump would endorse the former House Speaker. Newt Gingrich says, unlike Mitt Romney, he believes, in his words, we should care about the very poor. Touring a Las Vegas manufacturing plant today, Gingrich said Romney and President Obama think all the poor need is a safety net. The former House Speaker said what the poor really needs is a trampoline, so, he says, they can spring up. Support for an earlier-than-planned end to NATO's lead combat role in Afghanistan is building. The NATO Secretary General is joining the U.S. and France in proposing Afghan forces take the lead in all combat operations by the middle of next year. On Wall Street, at last check, the Dow is down 8 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock.
For what it's worth.
For what? What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The
RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 34 on the Buckmaster Show Thursday edition. Joining me in studio, Mayor Ed Honing from the town of Marana. Mayor, how are you?
I am doing very well, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Congratulations on your town's Business Development Center, also known as BDC, which opened January the 12th on the second floor of the Marana Municipal Complex. That's over on West Civic Center Drive. I'm hearing really good things about this kind of one-stop center. What's kind of the mission here? What's the goal of this, Mayor?
Well, the goal is for any business person, whether or a home builder, time is money. And what happens in most municipalities is you go in and you get a talk to engineering and get approval, and then you go to planning and get approval, and then you go to inspection and get an approval.
And there's a wait time built in.
And if one of those entities changes something, it could change the approval you already got. So basically what we did is we took an engineer, an inspector, a planner, the fire district, the water district, the sewer district, and everybody, and put them at the table. And you go in and you talk to everybody at the same time. And basically what that does is if one of those entities makes a little change that affects another, you get that information up front. And you don't spend 6 months running back and forth trying to get all your permits lined up before you go to business.
A lot of people say that Marana is, of the local communities, the most business friendly. Are there any statistics to kind of back that up?
There are. MPA, Metropolitan Pima Alliance, did a survey about 6 months back on all the municipalities in Pima County, and it involved elected officials, bureaucratic officials, and everybody you had to deal with in the construction trades of building business or homes. And Marana came out on top on that survey. People then start looking at you and start maybe changing a lot of their things to things you are doing to make it easier where they are. So that's why we came up with the one-stop center, is you've got to try to stay a step ahead and be the easiest place in Pima County to do business.
And, of course, sales tax generated by Marana businesses have to be a major source of revenue for your town.
They're our prime source of revenue, and that's why we're so active in the business community. We have over 500 members in the Chamber of Commerce, and we want to make it easy for you to do business in our town.
Infrastructure funded then by some of the sales tax collections?
Infrastructure is funded by a lot of different things. HERF funds, which we've had some pretty good hits on from the legislature, sales tax, and we don't have a property tax and probably never will. And that's what we take care of it with. Our roads, arterial and collector, are in probably the best shape of any of the roads in Pima County, or at least par with the better ones.
Why is that? Why have you been able to avoid the pothole crisis?
We made a decision when the crash came in basically 2008, that we were only going to do things that were absolutely essential for our people. Public safety, which is police, keeping our roads in good shape, and that is also safety. You don't want people dodging potholes or not seeing because of weeds, and parks, because that's a place that a person can take their family for free and have a good time and get out and stay healthy. So we said we will maintain those three items at the current rate, and everything else is where we'll make the cuts if we have to.
How about litter? I mean, driving around the streets of Tucson, it just drives me crazy seeing all the litter. And sometimes I want to pull over to the side of the road and go pull some weeds from the media.
We take really good care of litter and of all the tagging and all of that you see around. We have two crews from the minimum security prison out there in Marana that we work full time. And you'll see our crews along the freeway, trimming trees, picking up garbage, cutting weeds. And we also go into collector streets and arterials in the neighborhoods and cut weeds and paint over graffiti and pick up trash. Because if your community is not attractive and make people feel comfortable, they're not going to want to open a business or live there.
Yeah, because let's face it, like it or not, people do judge by appearances.
Absolutely.
To a certain extent. You know, I mean, whether it comes to people or the community, and if they see a lot of weeds and they see trash all over the place, maybe they'll think twice, well, maybe this is not the kind of place I want to invest in.
Absolutely. In fact, if you look at housing starts this year, Marana's averaging a little over 30. And there have been a couple months that we've actually done more housing starts in the city of Tucson. And this is not to slack Tucson. I love Tucson. But it shows that we have an attractive, safe community that people want to live in.
Yeah, and we're not knocking Tucson. I know that the new Mayor Rothschild, is trying to make the city more business friendly. We have scheduled an interview with him. He'll be with us next week talking about his efforts to kind of he understands Mayor Honing.
He really does. And I had an opportunity. I met him for breakfast a couple weeks ago, and we met on a couple different occasions. He's a very personable gentleman. And his heart's in the right place, and he knows that Tucson has some serious problems.
Image problems.
And he's trying to fix those. And I commend him. I really like Jonathan Rothschild, and I enjoy working with him.
Hey, how's it going with the wastewater plant? We'll have your friend, Mr. Huckleberry. Chuck Huckleberry will be with me here on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. And you and Mr. Huckleberry have had some disagreements over the wastewater plant. But right now, the town of Marana is managing and doing the wastewater treatment plant.
We are doing really well. The plant was in pretty rough shape when we went in there. But we've done some things that are going to allow us to save a lot of money operating that plant. We have water from Colorado River generated water and
CAP water.
It's
different
power generated.
Oh.
Up on the dams on the Colorado River. And we can get that power for about 3 mils a kilowatt hour. Well, the county was paying 12. So what we can do is go in and operate the electrical part of the plant for about a third what the county was paying for electrical services. We've also made some adjustments. The county was hauling 15 loads of sludge out of there. We have made some corrections and done some things, and now we're doing 2 or 3 a week instead of 15. So we saved a bunch of money there. And some of the apparatuses in the plant were hooked up backward.
Really?
And the UV series, which is a very expensive bank of UV lights that helps treat the effluent, was actually hooked up backwards. And I'll tell you how it works. There's 3 sets of UV lights there, and they have to stay at a certain temperature. Well, there's a weir gate at the end of the box they're in. And when they start getting hot, the gate closes to raise the water table to keep the lights cool, and vice versa. That was hooked up backwards. So when the lights started getting hot, instead of putting more water in the box, it was putting less in the box.
Oh, no.
And we're going to end up replacing those at an expense of about $100,000. But I can assure you they're hooked up correctly now.
Mayor Ed Honing is with us on the Buckmaster Show. You've got the golf tournament coming up. That's big for Marana.
Big, big, big for the entire region.
Yeah.
You know, the 64 best golfers in the world will be here. Phil Mickelson's not going to be here this year, but most of the top golfers will be here. It will generate millions of dollars in the region, especially in the hospitality sector. that will not only benefit Marana, but our friends in Oro Valley and Tucson as well. So it's going to be a great event.
It doesn't hurt, too, that the Marana name goes out all over the world.
The Marana name goes out to 140 countries in about 40 different languages. And we've often said that if you spent millions of dollars on advertising, you could not reach the number of people that go out with this event. So we are really excited about what that does for our community.
Mayor Ed Honing is with us and has been with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's always a pleasure talking with him. He cares deeply about the town of Marana, and he does take phone calls from constituents, correct?
I absolutely do, and I will talk to anybody about anything from a pothole to a major disturbance. So I'm a working guy myself, and I love to talk to people in my community.
Yeah, you love people. That's great to have you with us. Thanks a lot, Mayor.
Thank you. Have a great day. Thank you, Bill.
Coming up on 12:45, let's talk legal issues. Don Luce, one of the best attorneys in the state of Arizona, is waiting in the wings. He is in the house, and he will be with me here in studio right after this.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded in 1930 by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn still sets the standard for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. The Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. The Arizona Inn has again been named one of the best 500 hotels on earth by Travel and Leisure magazine, the only hotel in Tucson to receive this top honor. And the Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson at 2200 East Elm and on the web at arizonainn.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than two dozen on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook. Well, 48 on the Buckmaster Show, Thursday edition, the home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, and our simulcast partners in Douglas and in Globe once a month on the Buckmaster Show, we talk legal issues, and there is never a shortage of legal issues. If you live in the state of Arizona, believe me, there's never a shortage of legal issues going on, especially when the legislative session is going, things are really cooking. Attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, whose offices are in Tucson and Phoenix, joins us once a month. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, good to see you, Mr. Luce.
Thank you for having me, Bill.
Hope the first month of the year is going very well for you.
Perfectly, and isn't this great weather?
You know, it is, and I said at the top of the show, it's Groundhog's Day, and boy, back east, they're having the mildest winter 30 or 40 years, so actually it doesn't really matter what the little groundhog saw today.
Well, I'm looking forward to going out and watching the center in a couple of weeks in Marana.
Yeah, it should be fun. Lots of stuff going on up at the legislature. We've talked, Don, over the last few months about Arizona's medical marijuana law. Now, under this bill, would the law apply to our university campuses?
Well, there is a House bill that was introduced. It's House Bill 2349, and it was just introduced by Representative Amanda Reeve, a Republican out of Phoenix. And under this bill, college students would, even with medical marijuana cards, and there are lots of people in our state who now have medical marijuana cards, as we've talked about previously, but a college student would not be allowed to use or possess medical marijuana on campus if this bill goes through. And it's really interesting, the rationale for this. The representative who proposed this legislation believes that the colleges and universities would be at risk of losing their federal funding if we were to allow in Arizona college students to use or possess marijuana on campus. And it goes back to the distinction between marijuana and other types of controlled substances. Marijuana is actually a Schedule I drug as defined by the DEA, which means it by definition it has no legitimate medical use. Other types of drugs which are controlled but not banned would include like morphine and codeine and those sort of things where you can get a prescription for them. You cannot get a prescription for marijuana, and that's why we have this dispensary system instead of a pharmacy system. You know, you can walk into a pharmacy and you can buy, for instance, morphine with a prescription. You cannot walk into a drugstore and buy marijuana with a prescription because doctors in Arizona cannot write prescriptions for marijuana. They can only recommend its use, and then the Department of Health Services issues a card to the medical marijuana user. Really interesting system.
The 2010 initiative lists ailments and conditions that qualify an adult to seek a doctor's recommendation to obtain up to 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks. And there's nothing in that initiative, as far as I can tell, that says that it prohibits where you can carry this marijuana. So this is a very interesting situation that could result, if passed, in legal action. And that is exactly what the people with the Arizona Medical Marijuana Association are vowing, that if this becomes law.
That's right. And this would not be the first lawsuit initiated by the Arizona Medical Marijuana Association. As your listeners may know, this group just came off of a huge success in Maricopa County Superior Court where they sued the state basically asking the judge to order the Department of Health Services to start issuing licenses to dispensaries because that was on hold for about 6 months. And this association successfully argued to the court that the initiative requires the issuance of those licenses. And based upon that favorable ruling, the association got the licenses issued, and now they're saying if this House bill passes, they're going to file another lawsuit and challenge it.
Immigration bills, even though at the beginning of the session, the lawmakers that I talked with said, oh, immigration is going to be a back burner issue. Well, it's back with us. Immigration bills have returned to the Arizona Senate without Russell Pierce in the Senate.
Well, interestingly, Senator Jerry Lewis is one of the legislators who has introduced immigration legislation this session. There are actually four immigration bills currently pending, two of which were defeated during the last legislative session. And real briefly, we'll go over the four. The one of the bills would require the state to collect data from school districts showing how many students are illegal immigrants. And the companion bill to that would require hospitals to report to the state the cost of treating uninsured illegal immigrants. Now, both of these bills were defeated last legislative session, and yet here they are again, and both are being sponsored by Senator Steve Smith. Now, there are two other immigration bills which are currently pending. One is a Democratic bill which would actually repeal SB 1070. The committee chair on that bill has said, no chance. I've got a deep drawer. This bill is never getting out of committee. And the other is a Republican bill to modify the state's employer sanctions law, which was just upheld by the United States Supreme Court, to give employers greater legal protection if they use the federal system to check the status of new hires.
So immigration law is still very much in the mix at the Arizona legislature. What's this about tanning beds and Arizona salons? Something about, is it underage people going to these tanning salons?
Something to the tune of over 2 million teenagers a year use tanning beds. Anyway, this legislation was proposed by a Republican out of Wilcox, Peggy Judd. It's a brand new bill. It hasn't even been scheduled for a hearing before the House Judiciary Committee. But under this bill, what it would do is bar anybody under the age of 18 from using tanning beds. Now, as you might imagine, there's a lot of opposition to this legislation by the tanning industry. 28 million people in the United States reportedly use tanning beds every year.
Wow, this could really hurt that industry, though, if you cut off the teenage population.
Translated into number of users, that's about 2 million teenagers each year in the United States who use tanning beds. I never would have thought it was that high. The public policy concern here is that ultraviolet radiation from tanning beds is a cause of cancer. So there appears to be a legitimate public concern for this. But under current law, a minor or somebody under 18 still needs to get written parental consent before they can use tanning beds. This legislation would say even with consent, you can't use tanning beds.
Also, I want to talk about abortion laws. The state may tighten the abortion laws in Arizona.
This legislation, also sponsored by Senator Steve Smith, is Senate Bill 1494. Now, this is kind of an interesting backstory, because what he's saying he's trying to do is get legislation passed that would then set up a contest that would go to the Supreme Court to potentially overrule Roe versus Wade. Let's start with what the existing requirements are for a woman to obtain an abortion in Arizona. Number one, there must be a discussion of the risk. Number two, there must be a 24-hour waiting period. And number three, the woman must be offered an ultrasound of the fetus. Now, under this new legislation, life would be defined as beginning at conception. This is major, because terminating life is prohibited under existing Arizona law. The women under this legislation would be required to be told that at least 24 hours in advance that the abortion will, quote, terminate the life of a whole separate, unique, living human being. Now, that's kind of big. And so what the proponent of this legislation is saying is that if we can get this statute on the books, then we can set up a contest between this law and Roe versus Wade, and once it gets through the circuit courts, it will end up at the Supreme Court, and maybe the landmark decision will be modified or reversed. Now, I express no opinion on whether that's likely to occur or not, but that
is the potential for being a huge legal issue in precedent is
yes,
there.
Yes, and that's what this senator is proposing.
Okay, Don Luce of Luce Brown and Associates, his very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers. Is that out now, the revised edition, or not yet?
Not yet. The revised edition is finished. It is going through the editing process.
Yeah.
And it's
on
in my
desk.
Drawer.
Okay, yeah. And the other book, very popular, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don Luce, have a great week, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show has been presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. Coming up tomorrow, we will have Pima County's administrator. Some say he's the most powerful man in Pima County. That is Chuck Huckleberry. He'll be our Friday Focus interview. Plus, we'll have, of course, our Friday Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week here in Arizona. That's on the Buckmaster Friday Show. And, of course, Weekend Watch with the culinary cruiser himself, Matt Russell. That's coming up. I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.